mountain and began to look at the top of the mountain, I asked myself, shall I go up there? I tell you, it was a wonderful experience. Carlos did me well. He took care of me, got me up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Amen. 5 o'clock in the morning, and we journeyed and had a wonderful time. My body is sore. Now, I'm fine. You can shake my hand. You can hug me. You can do all of that. I'm going to embrace that because I love that. I'll just pay for it when I go back to the hotel. Y'all doing all right tonight? Are you doing all right tonight? Has God been good to you? You know, hopefully we're establishing, you know, I really like to interact with you, and hopefully before I go home that we're going to have more interaction as we talk. It's good to see you guys. How you feel? Wonderful. Y'all want to study tonight? Yeah, okay. I'm going to encourage you to turn your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. And I believe if we'll put our attention there, perhaps there's a thought that would allow us to be challenged in our own journey with God as it relates to our lives, our walk, our commitment, and the entrustment that God has put on us to change the lives of those we come in contact with. Is that fair? Is that fair? Amen. Bless your heart. Has God been good to you today? Yes. Are you happy to be here tonight? Yes. All right, God has seen you through whatever challenges that you have foreseen today, but God has seen you through. My position, Brother Forrest, is Christians ought not to have bad days. Thank you, sir. Christians ought not to have bad days. Now, that does not mean we're not going to have challenges. What Christians have are what's referred to as inconvenient moments. But you don't allow a moment to dictate the rest of your day. Amen. Therefore, we should not have bad days. We have multiple inconvenient moments. 2 Samuel, chapter 5, beginning at verse number 17, will terminate at verse number 25, reading from the New American Standard Bible. But if you have a reliable translation, you're not going to have any challenges following this text. Are we ready? That was about two people. Are we ready? And when the Philistines heard that they had appointed or anointed David king over Israel, all of the Philistines went up to seek out David. And when David heard of it, he went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines came and spread themselves out in the valley of Rephaim. Then David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand. So David came to Baal-perazim and defeated them there. And he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like the breakthrough of waters. Therefore, he named that place Baal-perazim. They abandoned their idols there, so David and his men carried them away. Now the Philistines came up once again, spread themselves out in the valley of Rephaim. When David inquired of the Lord, he said, you shall not go directly up. Circle around behind them and come at them in front of the balsam trees. Some translation will say the mulberry trees. And it shall be that when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then you shall act promptly. For then the Lord will have gone out before you to strike the army of the Philistines. Then David did so, just as the Lord said, or just as the Lord had commanded him, struck down the Philistines from Geba as far as Giza. I want to talk to you tonight about a young man by the name of David who has found himself to be king of all of Israel. By the time you get to 2 Samuel chapter 5, a lot of things have transpired in David's life. He is now king over Israel, but the journey that led him there, you may recall, David is the 8th son. He is the youngest son of a man by the name of Jesse. And the prophet comes to Jesse's house to anoint the next king over Israel. Jesse parades 7 of his sons before the prophet. The prophet looks at all 7 and says, "Something is wrong, brother Jesse, because none of these seem to be the one. Do you have another son?" Jesse says, "Well, I have another son, but he's a shepherd boy and he's tending the fields." He says, "Why don't you bring him in? Let me take a look at him and just see if that's the one that God wants to anoint to be the king over Israel." David runs in. He's dirty. He's muddy. He doesn't smell good. But when the prophet looks at him, he sees him and God gives the movement and says, "That's the one." And the prophet now anoints the head of David. But interesting the way God works, he anoints David to be the next king over Israel. But David leaves after his anointing, goes right back into the field and began to tend to the sheep. Nothing happens for a while. But on one occasion, David is getting ready to go down to give his brothers some lunch while they're down there with Saul the king. And there's a giant from Gath in the city poking fun at the God of heaven. When David goes down there to deliver his lunch to his brothers, he hears this and he gets angry. Y'all follow me? And when he gets angry, the other men are afraid of this giant. But this is a young man who comes to this area and says, "If y'all won't fight him, I'll fight him myself." David goes out there, and as he has practiced with his slingshot, he takes a rock and a rag and launches a rock in the forehead of this giant, knocks him out. The rock doesn't kill him. He knocks him out. He walks up to the giant, takes the sword of the giant, cut off his head, and said, "It's over." As David progresses in life, he now comes into his anointing that he received as a little boy. Now David is king. Y'all see how that works? So when we get to 2 Samuel chapter 5, it says when the Philistines, David killed their giant. So when the Philistines heard, see at some point when someone has done that to you, if you're not a forgiving kind of person, you'll wait to an opportunity to get back at them. Amen. So they've been waiting on an opportunity to get David. So now David is king. The Bible says, and when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king, they came to try to defeat him. Now, one of the things you want to appreciate about David is a man of passion. Amen. Any men of passion in here tonight? You're kind of nervous to raise your hand because you're not sure what I'm going to say. But men of passion, thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Forrest. Men of passion. David was a man of passion. Amen. When David sang, he sang with passion. When David played his instruments, he played with passion. David was a man. He was a very passionate man. Not only could he play the instruments, he could make them. Amen. Not only could he make them and play them, David was so passionate, David was also a poet. You'd almost think David was soft unless you keep reading about David, because the same man that is soft enough to write poetry, the same man that would sit under a tree and play music, the same man that has that kind of passion is the same man that cut off the foreskins of 100 Philistines, threw it at the foot of the king, and said, "Who else needs to die?" Because what David is expressing is passion goes both ways. You can be passionate about something. In fact, passionate people can walk into this building and see it full. Passionate people can take a blank piece of paper and do something with it. Passionate people can take a nothing kind of job and do something with it. Passionate people are very creative until you make them mad. Amen. When you make a person of passion angry, they will flip out on you. Maybe I've not run into anybody like that, but a passionate person will hit you and then say, I'm sorry, because they're passionate. You follow me? A passionate person will say something and then apologize. David is a man of passion. Now he's in his passion, he loves poetry, he's a songwriter, he's a poet, but he's also a killer. David would fight you. David would kill you. David was a murderer. That's one of the reasons he couldn't build the temple, because he has so much bloodshed on his hand that God said, you can't do it. Because David was a killer. Now, he was a lover too, but he was passionate about that, but David was a killer. And it seems to me that if the Philistines are going to come up against a man to fight a man who has a long resume of killing somebody, you know, it seems to me that David would say, you've picked the right one. If you want a good fight, David would say, well, come on and fight. He says, I've made a living in fighting. I've made a living in war. I've made a living in killing. So David, you know, if you want to fight me, let's have a fight. Saul hired me to fight. In fact, I was in charge of Saul's army. It was my job to take 600 men who were nothing. I took them and trained them in a cave called Adullam, turned them into warriors. So if you want to fight, you've picked the right guy. But look what David does. Even in that kind of thing, when David finds out that the Philistines have come and surrounded him and want to fight him, the first thing David does is he falls on his knees and prays. He does not fall on his strength. He does not fall on his past. He does not fall on his habits. He falls on his knees and he asks God a question. Here's the question. David says, God, shall I go up? Because David associates success with prayer. He doesn't associate it with power. He doesn't associate it with force. He doesn't associate it with anger. He associates success with prayer. The challenge that we have is if we're going to be successful in changing this community, we have to associate our success with prayer. Not on our power, not on our strength, not on our resources, but with prayer. When David finds out there's some people that want to fight him, he does not go to fight. He prays to God. Because David values relationship over tradition. If we were in a Hebrew class, we would say Selah. That means let that set in. Let's think about it. David says, God, shall I go up? Maybe that's the challenge that we have, even when we pray, is there's a difference between what we pray for and what we hope for. And if we're waiting until we have the talent and the ability to get it done, that is separate and apart than what God would do for us in our lives. Shall I go up? He says, our success is associated with prayer. See, there's a lot of things we don't have trouble with. But every now and then, I'm not talking about here, but there are some people I talk to, they struggle even with prayer. They have no problem talking on the phone. But when it comes to prayer, in fact, you can talk on the phone and lose all tracks of time. You can talk on the phone for hours, but then you start to pray, and 5 minutes later, all of a sudden, your knees begin to hurt. Your back is beginning to spasm, or you pray when you're going to bed and you fall asleep in the middle of the prayer. Wake up at 3 a.m. and say, in Jesus' name. But here's the thing. God is saying, rather than getting distracted with prayer, stop calling people that can't help you. Stop trusting people that's trying to hurt you. Hang up the phone and let's get connected with God in prayer. Shall I go up? David says, before I fight them, I need to know. Do you want me to engage this battle? David says, I don't want to engage in a battle without God. I want to be sure that the God of Israel is on my side. Because here's what David is saying. If the God of Israel is on my side, he says, I don't care how many troops you have. I don't care how many men you have. I don't care how tired I am. If God is on my side, he says, I'll go out there and fight you all by myself. If God is on my side, and if I know God is with me, he says, I'll fight a giant with a rag and a rock. If I know that God is on my side, I'll keep marching forward while people are trying to push me backwards. If I know God is on my side, God, shall I go up? Do you want me to fight the Philistines? Y'all see that? Shall I go up? And what God is trying to show us, this is really not about you and me. This is about God. And he says, God, shall I go up? Something is about to happen in this story that is very critical. Not only is it critical in this story, something's getting ready to happen in your own life. That's critical. And not only must we do it, but we must do it God's way if we're going to obtain the victory in our lives. It's like this. We have to do it God's way. I'm originally from Dallas. We moved to St. Louis in 2006. Now, if I'm driving to Dallas, or if I'm driving in Dallas, I grew up in Dallas. I know it so well, Brother Forrest, I could drive in Dallas blind. I'm just that good in driving in Dallas. I could drive in Dallas. I don't have to know where I'm going. I can just do that and find a direction and keep on going. I can drive in Dallas with the ice on the ground. I can drive and turn around those corners without a problem because I know it. I'm familiar with it. But in St. Louis, I need a GPS. Even though I've been there since 2006, I still use a GPS because I only know a few ways to get to the places that I need to go. And I only go where I'm supposed to go, so when you ask me to go somewhere that I'm not accustomed to, I have to get a GPS to direct me. Anybody ever been to St. Louis? Okay. We have a freeway called 270, and every now and then it gets backed up with traffic. And every now and then I see people going off the side of the freeway like they're going another route to get somewhere. And I always wondered where they were going. And one time I tried to follow them just to see if they would end up somewhere, but it ended up somewhere I wasn't supposed to be. So I need my GPS to get me somewhere. And God says, I want to be that GPS in your life. I want to be able to direct you through your journey. I want to be able to route you to where you need to go. God says, I want you to seek my direction every day. I want you to come in contact with me every day. I don't want you to have to lose your way. I want you to seek my presence every day because I need you to do this, but I need you to do it my way. So I need you to seek my direction. God says, let me be your GPS. Don't rely on your abilities. Don't rely on your contacts. Don't rely on your resources. I want you to be careful on what battles you choose to fight. That's why David says, God, do you want me to fight this battle or not? Is this a fight you want me to fight? Even when we come in contact with people, we are going to have to decide what battles to fight and which ones to ignore. We're going to have to ask God, God, shall I go up? Y'all follow that? Does that make sense? God says, I want you to seek my face every day. I don't want you to think that you have to fight today's battles based on yesterday's information. Seek my presence every day. Get the instructions for today. Can I give you an illustration where that's important real quickly? I got about 10 minutes.
Here's an illustration of where it's important that we seek God's instructions every day. You may recall on one occasion when Moses and the children of Israel, they ran out of water. They were in the wilderness. They ran out of water. They didn't have any food. And they began to complain to Moses. Now watch this. They ran out of water twice. Y'all know that? They ran out of water twice. The first time they ran out of water, they were in a wilderness called Zin. And when they ran out of water, the children began to complain. God says, Moses, smite the rock. So Moses hit the rock, water came out. You follow me? Years later, they run out of water again. But some circumstances had changed. His sister Miriam had just died. He had just buried his sister. And then they run out of water. So Moses is going through these changes in his life. He's grieving over his sister, who he got to build a relationship in the late part of his life. And now they run out of water again. This time, they're in a wilderness called Sin. It's not the same occurrence. It's two different incidents. And the second time they run out of water, God says, you know, they're complaining to Moses. Moses, we run out of water. We're thirsty. We're hungry. But Moses is trying to explain, if you ran out of water, I ran out of water. If it's affecting you, it's affecting me. Don't think I have a canteen hidden somewhere and I'm drinking water and you're not. We're all out of water. But because of his frustration, because of his grieving over his sister, when God says, this time, speak to the rock, Moses treated this situation as if it was that situation. Rather than getting the new instructions for today's battle, he treated this fight the same way he fought the last fight. You told me to hit the rock last time out of frustration. Moses could not hear God. So when God says speak, Moses heard smite because he thought this was the same fight. He says, I've been here before. We've run out of water before. We solved it by hitting the rock before. Even though God says speak to the rock, Moses is trying to solve this problem the same way he solved it last time. God is saying, seek my presence. Get today's information for today's battles. Stop fighting today's battles as if it was yesterday's information. Y'all follow that? So much so that when the Bible says Moses, in fact, the second occurrence, Moses and Aaron go before God. And they go before God. They went before God angry. God says, speak to the rock. They left the presence of God angry. That's a problem. When you go before the presence of God angry and you leave the same way that you came. Moses grabbed that rod and he says, come on, Aaron. And he walked out there. He says, you rebels, why shall we get you water from a rock? And he hit the rock. When God says, speak to the rock. You see that? And because Moses didn't fight that battle the right way, it cost him his destiny. David is saying, I'm a fighter, I'm a killer, but I don't want to assume you want me to fight everything that comes before me. Shall I go up? Y'all see that? And so God responds. He says to David, go up against the Philistines, and I'm going to deliver them into your hand. So David goes up, and God delivers them into the hand of David. And David, as he's fighting them, what's interesting about this story, as he's fighting them, he's wearing them out. He is praising God while he's beating them. While he's killing them, he's praising God. Now see, it's one thing for you to kill a man, but it's another thing to die while the man is rejoicing while he's killing you. God says, when you defeat the enemy, don't defeat him in silence. Give me some praise as you overcome the enemy. He is beating them and yet rejoicing at the same time. It's kind of like a parent when they would spank a child. The parent would say, you're making me do this. You should have obeyed me. You know, the spanking wouldn't be as bad if you didn't have to hear the talk behind it. But here is David killing a man, and the man has to listen to David rejoice. God gives him the victory. Y'all follow that? And God says, when I give you the victory, at the same time, give me some praise. Let the enemy know that I'm the one that's giving you the victory. Don't fight him with your mouth closed. Give me the glory. Lift up my name while you fight the enemy. So David wins that battle. And he rejoices because God is with him. There are some battles that we're going to have to fight. There are some battles that we're going to have to fight in order to change lives. But don't worry about the battle if God is with you. If God is on your side and you pray to God, God, shall I go up? God will let you know which battles to fight and which battles to leave alone. David wins the battle and he rejoices. Now in the story, in the latter part, look at verse 23. In the latter part, the Bible says the Philistines, the same ones he just beat, now they retreat. They regroup. They get some more men in their circle. They get some more men on their side and they come back again. They want to fight David again. They have surrounded him again. And when David hears that the Philistines have returned, look what David does. David prays again. Because David honors relationship over tradition. That's why God is able to say about David, I have found a man who seeks my heart, who will seek my face, who won't rely on his own strength, but will call on my name. That's why David gets the victory. If you want to get the victory, we got to have a good relationship with God and not rely on our own strength, not rely on our own resources. David prays again. He goes back to God again and he says, God, it's the same people. It's at the same spot. I'm the same guy. You're the same God. But I don't want to assume that you want me to go the same way. So I'm going to ask you again, shall I go up? And to our amazement, God says, this time, don't go up. Don't react to the same problem the same way. Last time, he said, God says, this time, I'm going to take you another way. Last time, I brought you out. This time, I'm going to take you through. Don't respond to the same problem the same way. That's why we need to seek God's direction every day. Report to God every day. There's nothing worse than giving God something that he used to need. If you want God to bless you today, you got to seek God's presence today. And you have to give him something to bless. We talked about that last night. God blesses risk takers. If you want God to bless you, take some risk and watch God show up. Shall I go up? God says, this time I want to take you a different way. Church, even in our challenges, in the community around us, in changing lives, we got to decide what battles we're going to fight and what battles we're going to ignore. We have to ask God, shall I go up? Shall I fight this battle? What that means is there are some things that we can get indifferent about that are not heaven or hell issues. They're preferences, and they distract us while people out there are having real life problems. Amen. There are people struggling and battling cancer, but you don't want to get distracted over fussing and fighting over women's clothing.
Amen.
There are people fighting real devils. There are people dealing with high blood pressure and all these kinds of sicknesses, and yet we tie up a Bible class over whether or not it's our right to wear lipstick. People have real problems. Don't fight battles that won't make a difference. You have to ask God, shall I go up? Do you want me to fight this battle, or do you want me to leave it alone? There are some things God don't want you to fight, and there are other fights that God says, I will be with you. What difference does it make if we're talking about whether or not you can wear lipstick or not? And I don't know what the struggle is, but if you're talking about whether you can wear lipstick or not, or if it's all right women for women to wear this or not, at the end of the day, if folk lives are not being changed, we're fighting the wrong battle. We're fighting the wrong battle. We're in the business of saving souls. Now watch this. Sometimes we'll say we're in business, but we're not quite sure what business we're in. We say we're in the business of saving souls. Then the next question is, how's business? Because if business is not well, that may not be the business that you're really in. Amen. Does that make sense? What business are you in? We're in the business of saving souls. How is business? And sometimes, in order for business to get better, we have to choose what battles we're going to fight. Shall I go up? Now watch this. God says, this time, I'm going to take you through. And I don't want you to do anything. David, all I want you to do is get in the spot and wait for me. Any war veterans in here? God says, get in the spot and wait for me. Waiting is a war tactic. Sometimes doing nothing is doing something. And God says, look at the text. He says, just get in the spot and wait for me. As opposed to pacing the floor, as opposed to getting upset, as opposed to trusting in people that can't help you, get in the spot and just wait for me. Because God is going to give the victory. And God promised to bring David out. God promised to bring us out. Some of us, metaphorically, have some Philistines surrounding us right now. And you know it, this is the worst time for you to be in a fight with the Philistines, because you're right on the edge of having a breakthrough with that struggle that you have, and yet the Philistines have surrounded you again. You need to go to God again. You need to ask God, shall I go up? Why have the Philistines come now? Don't worry about that. God says, I'm going to guide you through this situation, and I'm going to give you the victory. He says, by faith, David, I want you to come out. By faith, by trusting me, I want you to come out, and when you come out, I'm going to bless everything that you're touching. I'm going to bless everybody connected to you. All I want you to do is get in the spot and wait for me. I'm going to give you a sign when it's time to fight. And here's what he says. When you see the moving of the mulberry trees or the balsam trees, when you see them begin to move, that's your sign that warring angels have gone ahead of you, and now it's time to move. But don't move until I move. So when you see the trees beginning to move, that's your sign that now it's time to go up.
Let me tell you something. God says, when you trust me, when you put your confidence in me, there's going to be a moment I'm going to ask you to just get in the spot. And God is saying to us, listen and look for the moving of the balsam trees. Listen and look for the moving of the mulberry trees. That's our sign that warring angels have gone ahead of us to fight that battle. And now it's time for us to move. God, shall I go up? If God is on your side, the answer is yes. Trust him. Put your confidence in him. And God will give you every victory that's before you. When you trust God, God has never lost a fight. We serve a God that's so powerful. Not only has he never lost a fight, the fight is already won even before he ever gets in the fight. Amen. The outcome is already won. Our challenge tonight, as we seek to increase our own journey, as we seek to increase our walk with God, as we seek to change those lives around us, we have to ask ourselves, God, shall I go up? Do you want me to fight this battle? Will you be with me in this battle? God says, listen for the moving of the mulberry trees. That's your sign. God bless you. If you're here tonight and you're a child of the King, but you've been trusting in yourself, you've been trusting in things, you've been trusting in the people around you, I'm going to plead with you, trust God and say, God, I've tried this on my own, and I want to repent of those things that's caused me to walk contrary to your will. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of the King, this is a wonderful opportunity for you to go up. You come full of faith, believing that he is. Repent of your sins as a change of mind. Changes your emotions, changes how you behave. Confess him to be the Christ. We'll baptize you tonight in water for the remission of your sin. God wash your sins away, give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Live, work, and worship according to his will. When God calls time to be no more as you and I know it, hear him say, well done. Well done. Mm-hmm. Not only will you be asking God, shall I go up? God will be saying, come up. Come live with me in the place I prepared for my children. God bless you. You need to come. I'm going to ask you to come right now as together we stand and sing.